Thank you so much, praise team, Rosemary, Pastor Ansu. That's our prayer, right? We're starting the new year. Pastor Ansu preached a little message on New Year's Eve, and he said, what's next? And I hope what's next is that we as a body and as individuals would really draw close to God. And that's our focus as we dive into the new year. We're going to start with a word of prayer. Take out your Bibles, if you would. We're going to start in John 15. We're going to make our way over to the Psalms as well. But let's just take a minute and ask God to meet with us this morning. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for your word. I want to pray, dear God, that you would just speak to our hearts, Lord, in a way that only you can. I pray, dear God, that you would take away all the distractions, Lord, that get in our way. I pray, Lord, that you would just help me, Lord, to communicate clearly, Lord, what your word says, Lord, in the power of your Holy Spirit, that it would not just be words or even illustrations, Lord, but it would be the truth, Lord, that you give us in your word, brought right to our hearts by the power of your Holy Ghost. Father God, just work in us now, we pray. Help us to digest these things. And Lord God, I pray that you would grow us by your grace. And I ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a quick thing before we jump in and turn to John 15. Penny Donovan's funeral is going to be next Saturday. It'll actually be at Chadwick Funeral Home, which is in Riverside. The viewing time is from 9 to 11, and the service is going to be at 11 o'clock. So just encourage you guys to encourage the family by that. And we're going to turn right to God's Word. So our new series is called Pursuing God, Knowing Him, Finding Life, and Experiencing Peace. And as I read, and by the way, I strongly encourage you. I found that book just a few months ago. And yeah, Pastor Andrew, you can hold it up. It's okay. It's called by A.W. Tozer. It was written, and you might say, oh, that's old. It was written in 1948. But this book speaks like it was written yesterday to the issues that we deal with. And one of the challenges, I'm going to ask this as a question this morning. If we went around our congregation, there's probably not one of us that's not wrapped up in the rat race of life. And we feel it, don't we? And the one thing that we're all missing because we're in that rat race of life is real peace and quiet in our soul. And we need God. It's the only way we're going to get to that place. And we need to know him. We need to understand and taste and see that he really is the life. And God will help us to experience peace, not because everything around us is okay, but he'll give us peace in our heart despite what's going on around us and in our lives. So we're going to jump in. I just encourage you, you hear my voice is a little funny. We were a little sick over the holiday, so praying that God would work through that. You understand, Elijah prayed on his side naked. I'm not going to do that, but I think God can work through my voice if it's off a little bit. So we're going to jump into his word. So the focus today is this. We want to desire God and follow close. And there's a song that the praise team is going to be working on coming up about my soul follows hard after God. It means we follow God closely, we pursue him, and that's what we want to focus on as we get into this series. A thought I want to share with you guys is this one, and I teed this up a week ago as well. You know what, I wish it were true. I wish Pastor Ansu and I, and God's power as he uses us as your spiritual leaders, I wish we could guarantee that in 1996, all of our situations will be better. But I can't do that, and neither can Pastor Anson. Yeah, 96 is gone. Thank you. 2006, I mean 26, I get it right, yeah, right? So the issue is, right, is that we need to become better people who look and live like Jesus, even if our current situation isn't the best or isn't what we want it to be. So we're going to take a look at God's word, and we're going to find out how to pursue him, deepen our relationship with him, so that we can grow better in his grace and bear fruit no matter what the situations of life are. That's our eternal truth. And I'll just tack on the bottom line to that. Better people that are really better, desire God and follow God closely. And that's what we're going to talk about. So I want to throw this out for a second. Feeling hungry and thirsty. And by the way, I thought we should use this further into the fast. Right? But the idea of feeling hungry and thirsty, we're gonna focus on that, because the Lord says that we're supposed to hunger and thirst after him, right? So we're going to look at a couple starters. We're going to talk about some signs of thirst, and we're going to look at a scripture that kind of gives us some hope in that process. So we're going to dig right on into that this morning. So the first thing I want you guys to look at, go with me to John 15, if you would. And I tried to just shorten this up a little bit this morning. But I want you to check out what God said as we think about John 15. Get this in your mind, right? He says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, we just sang that song, Abide, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Everybody look up for a sec. Would you just digest that for a second this morning? It says that, you know, the Lord is the vine, right? And it says, without him, what can we do? And I want to ask this question. Do you believe that? Do we live like we believe that? We really don't, really, right? Because if we really live like we believe that, and by the way, we might believe it, but this is like the challenge of really drawing close to God. We say a lot of things. We know a lot of things in our head, but they don't play out so much in our heart and in our life. Because if we really believe that, the first person I want to talk to in the morning is God. And I'll just encourage you guys. In your bulletin, there's a little blue handout. It came from our devotional, The Word for You Today. And it talked about the first voice that we want to hear is God. And look what he says. He says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And I want to throw this out and kind of define that for a second. In other words, if I don't really have that connection to God deeply, daily, I go out, I do what I do. Right? God doesn't just chop us off. But when I go out there, the things of life just wear me out. Have you guys experienced that? You know, you wake up and you think today's going to be a good day. And you get to work and it's anything but good. You come home saying, bye, I just can't wait to leave work. And you come home expecting it to be good, and it's anything but good, right? And that's why we need God. And that's why we need to grow in his grace, because we can't control all of that, but we can control how we walk with him and how his Holy Spirit just gives us that strength and that power so that we don't wither away. And that's what I want to encourage us to something to think about. Because then look at the bottom of this. We'll just hit this quick. He says this. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you'll be my disciples. Check that out. Everybody look up. Look what that says. It says, if you abide in me, if you have that close walk with God, And his word, the scripture, is just what drives you, and the principles, what moves your life. He says, he's going to do what? He is going to answer your prayer. You know, he says, you can ask what you desire, and it will be done for you. Now I want to stop. Everybody look up. I know what y'all are thinking. I need a new ride that looks good. you know, or I need this or I need that. God may do that, but like God is not Santa. God is God. And he'll listen to all your requests and all mine. And some of them are crazy that I pray, right? And he'll filter out the ones for me that are good for my long-term growth, for my strength, for my family, for the people I'm involved with. He'll give me what I need, but he won't just give me what I ask for. That's, you know, sort of fraught with peril. He won't give me that. And it, praise God, like, you know, we kind of have this idea of Christmas holiday, Santa, right? Give me a list and he's going to give you everything you want. The good thing about God is he's going to give you what is best for you. And it's kind of like, by the way, as a parent, if you're a parent, raise your hand. How many of us as parents, if your kids have come to you and said, you know, mom and dad, this is what I need. How many of you guys ever said no? Only one or two of you. No, right? Right? As parents, sometimes we're like, no, not now. You know, go to work because I can't afford to buy what you want. You know, we said all these things, right? And as parents, we're doing what, not just what we can afford, but we're doing what's best. And that's what God does for us as our Heavenly Father and as our parent. So I want to kind of establish that thought, right? We got to be connected to God more deeply if we're going to be better. And even if we're going to make it through this year, we got to be connected to God. And that's a good starter. And then I want to kind of just strengthen that thought just for a second. And Apostle Paul wrote this in in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. He said, read it with me. What did he say? So is there anything that you can't do with God? Anything that you have to do, God says he's going to give you that strength to do it, right? And just kind of a couple thoughts there. Seems like I need to be relating well to Jesus. With him, I can do all things. And what we just learned was what? Without him, what can I do? Nothing. And I said that before. Do we really live like we believe this? And the answer is sometimes. And I want to challenge us to make sometimes much more often. And I'm starting with me too. Because as a pastor, me and Pastor Ansu, we live the rat race just like you guys do. We really do, right? And we struggle. You know, our job is to be spiritual leaders, to know God's word, teach God's word. And sometimes that's the last thing that we get to do in our day. Just like you guys. You know, life goes on. Life happens, as they say to all of us, right? So I want to move down and I want to just ask this question. What are some signs of thirst and hunger? You know, as we sort of desire God or we look for it. A lot of times thirst and hunger, right, it helps us to understand that our bodies have a need. That makes sense? So when you're thirsty, what do you need? You need water or fluids of some kind, right? If you're hungry, you know, you need something, right? Anybody ever get this? Sometimes in the afternoon, if I don't eat a lot, I just become so tired. You know, like that, I get that tired hunger, right? You know, and some of us, you guys, you know, they coined a word for something like that. They called it, you get hangry. You're hungry and you start getting short and nasty and angry, right? Yeah, that's kind of a sign, right? By the way, Pastor Ansel, I'm sorry, I know the fast is starting, but I shouldn't talk about that maybe, right? But we got to. So, you know, I want to think about that, and I'll throw this out, and then I'll just share a story. Sometimes our thirst and our hunger is impacted by the climate. And I remember this. Long time ago when I was the youth pastor here at First Baptist, or I might have just been a youth worker, we rode our bicycles all the way down to the shore. You know where we all go? In July, we all go to Long Beach Island. So we rode our bicycles all the way down to the shore. And I was like in my late 20s, and I felt like I could do anything. Anybody feel like that? Anybody in there, you know, in their 60s saying, I'm still there, right? You know, right? But we thought we could do anything, right? And I have my Gatorade and, you know, I had some bananas and all that stuff. And then we got riding along. And by the way, you think New Jersey's flat. When you ride it on a bike going to the shore, it is not that flat. And I can remember, you know, we're riding along, and you kind of get a little bit of cramps, like, in your legs, right? Anybody around that? And you're kind of like, well, I better drink, so I'm drinking a little bit, having a little bit of banana, but I didn't really have enough. And I got all the way down to Long Beach Island, just kind of crossed over the bridge. I'm like, almost there. And literally, my legs just, like, locked up. And I literally just rolled off my bike and fell into the dust. And this other kid in our youth group, he went to, there was like a store or something, and he got me a Gatorade, and I drank it, and the cramps kind of went away, and, you know, I finished. My pride was injured, but my body wasn't, right? And that's this idea of hunger and thirst, right? Sometimes our body gives us symptoms of what that looks like. And what I want to share with you on the spiritual side, the thirst that I have for God manifest itself a little bit like this. And here's the first one. I want you guys, look at yourselves for a minute and just think about this, right? Here's one. Anybody feel kind of frustrated? You don't have to raise your hand, but just think about it for a sec. Are you frustrated? Do you kind of get a bad attitude? You lack patience, so you kind of snap and snip at everybody, right? You criticize sometimes everything under the sun. Relationships, you kind of distance yourself, you kind of pull away from people and sort of, you know, take yourself away from all that. Sometimes we even participate in, like, sinful behavior, you know, of all kinds. Because it's kind of like, well, I'm just going to have fun because God's so far away. And finally, there's no peace or quietness. And that's kind of a symptom of, you know what? You and me have a spiritual thirst, and there's only one thing that's going to give me that thirst quenched, and that's that walk with God, that living water that comes from really walking closely with the Lord. A second element is this. Sometimes this kind of helps us understand that we're thirsty is failure. We can't accomplish what we want to accomplish, maybe goals and things. And this is a big one, by the way, and this happens all the time. Failure in our relationships. And I love this. Christian counselors say this. They say, you know what? That relationships are the window to our soul and its health. And just stop and think about it for a second. Are you having some failure in your relationships? You know, husband, wife, parent, kid, you know, others, right? All across the spectrum. But that's a good sign that your spiritual soul is thirsty. And then here's another one. And by the way, this is kind of, they almost kind of go in steps. It's called fatigue. I remember, and you guys all remember COVID, what a mess that was, right? But I remember as a leader, and Pastor Ansel and our deacons too, they came out with this term. They say, people are having decision fatigue. Because you always had to make a new decision that you weren't quite sure was right, but you were trying like crazy to do the right thing. And you were praying and doing everything, and you did all the things you had to do, but it was just like wearing out leaders, school principals, administrators, people on jobs, corporations, the government, pastors, everybody, right? Leaders were trying to figure out, how do I navigate this time that we've never navigated before? And fatigue sets in. And it can be physical. It can be emotional. You know, but here's a symptom. Like, here people, you might hear someone say this before. I'm done. Or I'm out. Right? You could tell that means they're kind of fatigued emotionally, right? And spiritually, maybe too, spiritual tiredness, even illness. And we feel like we have no strength or resources left to deal with the endless issues of life. Have you ever been there? I'm going to say, raise your hand. You ever been there? You've been there, right? That's kind of reality of the life, right? We deal with that. And then there's these other ones, right? An absence of real peace and quietness of soul. No real spiritual change that makes us different. And I want to just pick that up for a second. You know, if I went to your job, and I'm not going to come, don't worry. But if I went to your job and I said, hey, you know, this person's in our church, aren't they awesome? Do you think they would say the same thing? Yeah. We're hoping, like, yeah, they would. But maybe not, right? And here's why. Because we've kind of done all the motions of being in church. We might even read our Bible and check off our list. But the problem is we're really not changing. We're really not deeply and closely walking with the Lord. And that's just a challenge. So those are some symptoms of those things. And I want to read something. It comes from the book. And by the way, it was just so powerful. And by the way, Pastor Anthony and I, we think about this as your pastors. We really try hard to study and to pray and to see what God wants to say to you as he speaks to us too. But this author, Tozer, said this, by the way, a long time ago. But he said this. He said, current evangelicalism, we're like our churches. In our churches, we've laid the altar for God. We've divided the sacrifice up into parts. We tell you the scriptures. Here's what it is. Here's what it means. All that stuff. He says, we seem satisfied to count the stones on the altar and rearrange the pieces of the sacrifice, and yet we don't care that there's no fire from God on top. Isn't that powerful? That just speaks to my heart, right? And as pastors, like, I don't want you guys to walk away with your head full of knowledge only. I want us to walk away with a heart that is just reaching out and seeking for God, because that's the whole point. You know, the Bible is not the end in of itself. Maybe you could quote it backwards and frontwards, but the answer is God wants to be in a relationship with us. That's what he's really striving to do. And you know, I'll just read one more thought. And you can think about this. I appreciate all y'all being in church today on, you know, first part of the year. The holidays were probably crazy. You're tired physically, but you're here. And I hope that God speaks to your heart this morning. But Tozer wrote this too. He said, sometimes this is how we are like people in church. Maybe the pastors are about the same. He says, the hungry sheep look up and they're not fed. He said, it's a solemn thing and no small scandal in the kingdom to see God's children starving while actually being seated at the Father's table. Isn't that powerful? So we as believers, right, we don't want to, we're sitting at God's table and we're hearing truth, but we're still starving. It doesn't make sense, right? And God wants to direct us, you know, to himself this morning. And to get that in our mind. So I want to bring us out of the dump here for a second. We're kind of down low there for a minute. But check out what God says. You know, we have attitudes, but God gives us beatitudes. Right? And it says, blessed are those who, what? Hunger and thirst for righteousness. And check out what God promises. If you really hunger and thirst for God, and I, what I want to cultivate today is, as we begin the series, is that kind of thirst and that kind of hunger. If we really do that, what's it say? They shall be filled. So if you hunger and thirst after God, God is not running away from you. God's not trying to hide from you. He wants to feed you and nourish you and give you that living water. And that's his promise. God's promise is if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we will be filled. Everybody look up. Here's the problem. Most of us aren't too hungry or aren't too thirsty in our spirit. But if I look at our life, if I just go back a slide, take me back if you would, one slide. If I look at my life, is that what I see? Do I see some of those problems? And if I see some of those problems, I need the hunger and thirst. I need to cultivate that desire, right, to do that. And we're going to go back down. Take us back down, if you would, please. Thanks, Andrea. So that's the goal. We want to cultivate that desire. So let's move on. So here's the deal. We got to find the spring, right? We got to find the living water. And again, by the way, God's not hiding it. It's not somewhere where we can't find it. We got to find the spring. And the spring is in the Word, and the spring is in time spent with God. And the solution, right, and John wrote this, he said this as well. He said, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried out, saying, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." So everybody look up. What's God saying to you guys and to me? You know what he's saying? He said, if you're thirsty, come. And by the way, there's a lot of us here. Maybe there's one of us here. Maybe we grew up in church and we know how to do all the right motions, but maybe we've never really received Jesus Christ as our Savior. So the water is not really available because he's it. We got to do that first. And if we receive Christ as our Savior, now we got to pursue God. We got to follow hard after him. And John 17 said this. It says, "And this is life eternal, that we may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Now, I want you guys to look up for a sec. Think about this. When you know somebody really well, what makes that happen? You spend time with them, right? And I want to say this, right? That we're not going to know God just from Sunday mornings at 11. But we're going to know God from having a daily relationship with him as we read his word, as we pray. And by the way, sometimes the prayer might be as simple as "God help," and he will. But we got to have that daily walk with God, that daily time in his word, that daily time of prayer, that time of quietness. And let me say this, and we talked about this in our staff meeting, me and Rosemary and Pastor Ansu. You know what? In the life that we live, everyone applauds our ability to multitask, don't they? Like, man, they're awesome. They can do everything. Well, let me say this. Our relationship with God is not a multitasking event. Like, we're not going to get there from, you know, I'm watching the game on this side and I'm reading my Bible on this side. It's really not the same thing, right? It's kind of like, by the way, I'll use our guys. Hey, guys, how many times, how was your relationship with your wife if you can't let go of the game for a minute to talk to her? Right? Right? Amen. Now, don't clap now. Come on. But I'm serious, right? Isn't that a challenge, right? And by the way, you know, whether you're an Eagles fan, a Cowboys fan, you know, we got to spend time with the person that we love or we're not going to know them, right? And that's really the challenge, right? So the solution, right, is to come to God. Don't multitask. And I'll throw this out. Some people, and this is a good thing, some people listen to the scripture maybe while they drive. You can pray while you drive. That's pretty good. Keep your eyes on the road. You know, don't do no holy lift up your hands while you're driving. You know, don't shut your eyes. Yeah. Pastor Anthony said if you do that while you're driving, you might have a closer relationship with God real soon. Right? But the point is, right, is that we gotta focus on God, right? We gotta get that close relationship going, right? So I wanna slide down to the next slide and just kind of think about this for a second this morning. And how does that begin? And by the way, David is one of the greats, isn't he? And David wrote the two Psalms that we're going to focus on, and we sang about one of them this morning. But here's how we get there, right? Seeking, finding, and drinking. And I'm going to throw this out. What in our lives, usually pushes us closer to God, although nobody asked for it. Trouble, trials, problems, pain, all those things, suffering drives us to God. And I'll throw this out. I don't like any of those things, and you don't either, but it's actually something that God uses to move us where we need to go. If we're just kicking back, we're just, every day is a beautiful day in the sun, we kind of act like we don't need God. But when the pressure's on, we are running to the kingdom and to the throne, right? So look what it says here, by the way. And the first thing I want to say is this. You know what? Hopefully, by the way, and I'm not going to make you raise your hand, hopefully we all want a closer walk with God. We all want to satisfy our thirst and our hunger, right? But I want to say this. You know what? God is the one who started the process. And in John chapter 6, verse 44, it says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." So get this. Everybody look up for a second. I want you guys to understand this, right? God wants to relate to you. And the only reason you want to relate to him is because he related to you. He sent Jesus. He his Holy Spirit touched your heart, and you reached out because you wanted to know God and you wanted to have your sin forgiven. The theological word is this word, prevenience. And it just means this. Everything that you want started with God. Everything. God's always first. And then David wrote this down in the Psalms. Look what he said. And by the way, I hope this is a good pattern for us. He said, "Oh God, you are my God." I hope we can say that with that kind of spirit. Moses, you read that so good. "Oh God, you are my God." That's a song, by the way. I can hit some low notes today, but I'm not going to try, right? Sometimes I can hit no notes, but I can hit the low notes today because of my voice. But he says, "Oh God, you're my God." And look what he says. He says, "Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry, thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory." And I want you to get this picture, right? David wrote this psalm as he is fleeing King Saul. David is now the one who has been anointed to be the king, and Saul wants to kill him. David is fleeing, and David, by the way, had a rough life. His own family turned against him in some ways. He is in the wilderness. He is, running for his life. But he says, "God, I'm coming to you because you're the one who can sustain me." And I want us to kind of understand that. And by the way, look what he says. He says, "Early will I seek you." And I want to challenge us, right? Before you start the rat race this week, seek God first. And some of you say, "You know what time I get up?" Find a way to take a few minutes to seek God first. And I guarantee you'll be better equipped for the rest of your days and day, right? If you do that. So he says, seek him early, right? So David seeks God when he's fleeing from Saul in that time of trouble. So that's the idea of the seeking. And then I want to kind of just kind of keep going with that for a second. Look at Psalm 42, and David wrote this too. He says, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to you, where is your God?" And again, that's the point, right? So as we are hurting, right, we are thirsting and hungering for God. It drives us there. So I'm not praying that any of us would have a rotten week or rotten circumstances this week, but those things drive us to God. But what I am saying is this: let's go no matter what the circumstances are, because they're going to make the week go a whole lot better, and we're going to be better people because we spent time with the living God who has that living water for us, right? And I just want to stop and just say this. Notice David in this case, he remembers when he's close to God how good it is. And he says, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. And he's saying, when I was in God's house, in that case it would have been the tabernacle, right? When I was in God's house with God's people, that's where I found my joy. And I want us to kind of think about that as we go on, right? So we're going to keep on moving here this morning. And I want to say this about the Lord, is that God will satisfy us. We seek and God satisfies. Say that with me, right? We seek, God satisfies. And he says this, he says, because your loving kindness is better than life. In other words, God's love for us and what that entails, the strength, the power, the movement of the Spirit, the quenching of our thirst, it's just better than life. And he says, my lips will praise you, and thus I will bless you. While I live, I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Say, like when I, in other words, when I have been with God, it just satisfies my heart. And I'll share kind of a funny story. There was someone in our church family, they told me that I had to go to the dentist, and they said, you know, I went to the dentist, I had this problem. I'm like, what happened? And this person was just enjoying chicken so much. And they even bit the bones to get the marrow out. They're just enjoying it so much, they end up breaking their teeth. When we get close to God, it's like just enjoying him so much. It just satisfies our soul. You know, because as believers, right, the only thing that really satisfies us is to grow in God's grace and grow in our relationship. So he satisfies us and he gives us hope. You know, as David talked about, right? We're going to slip on down to another thing that God gives us as I meet with him. He satisfies us as we seek him. He gives us security. And check out what David said. He said, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. And guess what he says here? He says, because you have been my help. And I want to throw this out. When I quiet myself down, even in the midst of problems, and I begin to read God's word, and I begin to reflect on how I got to here, I remember that God does what? He got me here. I remember he helped me before, and he'll help me again. So when I meet God in his prayer, in his word, and with prayer, he makes me feel secure as I remember his past help, and I find comfort for now. And I want to encourage us. That's kind of where God wants us to be at. This is kind of your homework. I knew we wouldn't have time to finish all this, but we kind of go full circle. You know, we seek God. God satisfies us. God reminds us who he is. We begin to get that help and that strength from him. And then we continue to seek him again tomorrow. And he says that word, and we'll sing the song coming up. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. And that idea, my soul, the King James Version said this, my soul follows hard after you. And by the way, wouldn't that be a great thing if that was what God could say about us? Your soul is just following hard after me. But in the rat race of life, you know what? A lot of times our soul is not following too hard after God at all. And I want to encourage us to do that. A couple things you could look at. Moses, right? He was one of God's greats too. And he just sought after God. He said to God, he said, God, he said, I want to see your glory. And the Lord allowed him to see his back, not his face, because he wouldn't have lived. The Apostle Paul said, you know what? Everything else that I've accomplished, everything else that I've done, everything else that I've seen, I count it like garbage when I see Jesus. And Jesus himself did this. He said, he rose up long before it was day to pray to his Father. And you can look at those passages. I follow God closely day by day, and he keeps me. Remember this prayer? I don't know if you learned this as a little kid. We used to pray this prayer, right? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take, right? And that's kind of that idea, that just that resting in who God is and drawing close to him every single day. Because without him, you're not going to accomplish anything in your day. By the way, anybody been there? A lot of times I come to church and I have, I just got a new one. I have a Franklin planner. It's like a, you know, it's paper, you know, you write on it. And I write down I'm like a big to-do list guy. I don't know if anybody else says. I write down my whole to-do list, and sometimes days go by and even weeks go by. Right, Deacon Jonathan? Days go by and weeks go by, and the same items are still on the list. Right? I'm like, what happened? Life doesn't go the way you want it, so you better be close to God to help you not lose your mind and to be who he wants you to be right where he's got you. Right? And the last thing I want to say is this. We got to figure this out. Figuring it out. How do I pursue God personally? And a couple of key truths I want to review real fast. And we're going to go to the Lord's table in just a minute. A couple of key truths I want to say. Remember we learned this? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness in God. Because what? They will be filled. If you're hungry and thirsty after God, God's not going to leave you that way, even during the 21-day fast. Right? He's not going to leave you that way. How about this one? I cannot do anything without him. That's one to take to the bank right there, right? Desiring God and seeking him daily will enable me to develop a relationship with him that will give me help, hope, satisfaction, security, and change. In a couple weeks when I go to your job and I ask them about you, they're going to say you're awesome. Right? You hope, right? We hope so, right? But I hope they're going to say this. They may not say you're awesome, but they're going to say, you know what? You're different. I don't mean weird. You're different. You have that hope, that change, that peace in your spirit, right? The scriptures, you know, uses that phrase about Christians. It says we're a peculiar people. It doesn't mean we're weird. It just means we're more like Jesus, right? And hopefully that's it. We can be weird, but we want to be more like Jesus. So a couple of key takeaways for today, right? I need to establish these daily disciplines. Like nothing in life really happens unless we're disciplined. If you want to be a great athlete, you got to be disciplined. You got to put in the time, right? If you want to be great at anything, you got to be disciplined. If we want to really be a growing believer, we need these disciplines. And here's one. We need a planned time of quietness with as little distractions as possible. I don't know if you need to go out into your shed, go into your car, you know, shut the bathroom door and lock it, whatever it is, but we need a place where we can meet with God. We need a prayer room. We need a scripture reading room. We need a place where we can meet with God, even just for a few minutes, right? We need a planned and thoughtful readings of God's word for me. And Pastor Anstey did a great job on the Devo. Combined with this book and the word of God, it's going to challenge your thinking. And I hope that will happen this week, right? A planned time of thoughtful meditation. Remember we studied this? We have somebody in our congregation named Selah. But the idea in the Psalms, right? Selah means what? Pause. So we don't want to read God's word and go, done! You know, let me jump in the car. We want to read God's word and kind of think, pause, meditate on what does it say and how does it strike me right where I'm at right now. And then we need a planned and an organized time of prayer. By the way, you notice one word in there? plan. It's on every line. Like, we got to plan this in your day, because you guys can go out of here today and you have the best intentions in the world, and tomorrow you're going to wake up and you are going to go 0 to 60, you know, in 3 seconds in whatever car you got, right? But we got to plan this time in to change. And we need a heart of desire for God and a will ready to change and actively trying. And I want to say to you guys, you're probably going, man, that's a great plan. I want that. How am I going to do it? In the next several weeks, we're going to talk about exactly how to pull that off. You know, from God's word, not from Gary's wisdom or Pastor Ansu's wisdom, but from God's word. Amen? So now we are going to take a moment. Because, you know, as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, one thing we try to do every single month is remember why we're here. Remember why we're in the family of God, because Jesus Christ gave his broken body and his shed blood that we could be part of the family. And we're going to ask our deacons to come, and we are going to celebrate the ordinance of communion. And I want you guys just take a minute this morning. And you guys, maybe it's 12:35. We're actually not too bad on time. Just take a minute. Rosemary's gonna play something that's gonna, you know, help be thoughtful in music for us. Would you guys just bow your heads and ask God to really open up your heart, confess sin, do whatever you need to do at this point. And our deacons are gonna quietly just serve you the elements as we celebrate the Lord's table.
as believers in Christ, right, that's what has made a way for us to know Jesus. Jesus said this, by the way, in all the Gospels. He kind of talked about the Lord's table, but in the book of Luke, chapter 22, he said this. He said, and he took bread, and he gave thanks. You know, part of us remembering who God is, man, thank you, God. Like, I would not be here. I would not even know you if you didn't call me, as we read in John, and if Jesus didn't come willingly to die for us. So he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And just I'm thinking about this. You know, our bodies is something that we treasure, man. We try to do everything possible to take care of our bodies, right? Jesus is willing to give up his body because he wanted us more. He loved us so much. So we're going to partake of the bread. Just hold it up there for a second. As we remember the love of God and the love of Jesus in giving his body to be broken for us, that we might have eternal. And, you know, and I messed up.
Yes, he did.
And I apologize for that. Dennis Rothwell, we already had the bread. And God knows we're human. But Dennis is going to take a moment and literally do what Jesus said and thank God for the bread.
Wow, Pastor was rushing this through, but I just want to share with you for a moment, just to show you how God works. Mm. Our study is on becoming closer to God. I've been asked, and that we're all asked at this time of year, what's your resolution? Mm. Well, the Holy Spirit said to me, your resolution should be to become closer to God.
Amen.
You can't fail. And that's the reason why I stopped making resolutions. I got tired of failing. Last for a couple of days, a couple of weeks, and I would stop. But I realized through the Holy Spirit that as long as I try to become and work towards becoming closer to God, I cannot fail. Mm-hmm. He will not allow me.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father God, you are such a loving God. You teach us everything that we need to know, Father, and often we don't listen. So, Father, as you sent your son to have his body broken in front of us, and most of us ignore that, thinking, oh, it's nothing. But, Father, that was a great sacrifice. And let us not forget, we are to do this in remembrance of you. So, Father, as we take this time to break this bread, let us give all praise and honor to you for who you are and who you will be for us throughout the year, throughout our lives, Father. Thank you for who you are. All these things we ask. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. And I'm glad our deacons are men of grace. So I praise God for my brother. And in a serious way, praise God. Isn't that a good resolution?
Amen.
That's probably the only one we can't fail on, right, Dennis?
Amen. That's
yeah. Right. You know, we're going to diet, we're going to exercise more, we're going to do all those things. But, man, if I draw close to God, and I remember his body was broken for me, it changes everything.
We didn't take the bread.
No, we did.
Oh, we did? My bad.
Amen.
In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, Paul talks about the unity of the body, right? And in there, he talks about the cup. He said, beginning from verse 16, he said, the cup of blessing which we bless is not the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break is not the communion of the body of Christ. And this is the part I love. He said, for we, though many, are one bread, one body, for we all partake of that one bread. That unity, that fellowship we experience because of Christ's death on the cross. And it makes us want to get closer and closer and closer each day to him. And even as we partake, that we will not partake because we want to, but remember the fellowship. Imagine the fellowship we're going to have in heaven when we all get to heaven.
Amen.
Amen? Deacon Gordon is going to pray for the element of the wine.
Okay. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're here today to remember the greatest sacrifice ever given when the bruised body of Christ was hung on the cross and his blood spilled there for our sins, and that 3 days later he rose again to give us eternal life if we but believe on his name. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And let us all drink together. Amen.
We're going to close with a song, but just a thought about this. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, who rose up early before it was day to be close to God. And you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, humanly, Jesus suffered so much knowing that he was going to take on the sins of the world. And he prayed this prayer. He said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. And it proves that power of drawing close to God.
As we resolve to grow closer to the Lord this year, we can't do it alone. We need his blessing.
Face to you.
Desire, we yearn for you. Just as the deer pants for water, so may our souls thirst for you, Lord. We thank you for your word. Bless us now and bring us back next week where you'll be glorified and be honored. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.